My guest at this time is Mallory Quigley. She's Communications Director at the Susan B. Anthony List. That's a group dedicated to electing pro-life women to public office. Mallory and others in the Susan B. Anthony List are smiling this week after they successfully contributed to the primary defeat of North Carolina Republican Congresswoman Renee Elmers. Elmers was soundly defeated in a redrawn district by fellow Republican Congressman George Holding. We want to discuss the significance of that outcome and discuss Hillary Clinton becoming the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee. And Mallory, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this Elmers defeat is significant in a number of ways. First of all, so far, I believe she's the only incumbent member of Congress to be defeated in a primary. Secondly, the issue that you are most focused on, of course, is the pro-life issue. And while Elmers claims to be pro-life, she stood in the way on one of the most critical issues you've been working on in a while. So explain how Renee Elmers went from ally to adversary.
That's right. Well, back in January of 2015, Congresswoman Elmers led the charge to derail the pain-capable Unborn Child Protection Act. This was common sense legislation to stop abortion after 5 months. It has a majority support among Americans. Women support this bill in higher numbers than men, and it was actually scheduled for a vote on the day of the March for Life 2015. And in January, Congresswoman Elmers started to make a fuss in the media saying that millennials don't support this issue, they don't support this legislation, and that it certainly shouldn't be among Republicans' top few legislative priorities for the beginning of the year. And her premise is obviously, it's completely false. It's very popular legislation among young people, especially, and indeed all Americans. And so she contributed to this media firestorm, really taking the attention away from the horrific reality that we were trying to draw America's eyes to, the fact that the U.S. is only one of seven nations to allow abortion on demand after 5 months. And so because that betrayal was so profound, we had to take action, endorse against her. It was the first time in our history that we've endorsed a pro-life man over a pro-life woman in a Republican primary. Of course, we do support men quite frequently, depending on the circumstances, but as an organization that values and seeks to amplify pro-life women's voices, we could not stand for what she did back in January and the damage that she caused to the pro-life movement. So we were glad to see her defeated on Tuesday.
Her argument, of course, I'm sure was and would be that when the bill ultimately came up, she did vote for it. So was the damage done in your estimation, that she just simply didn't hold true to her principles when the heat came on?
I would say that absolutely. I mean, she had previously voted for the legislation in the prior Congress, and then she took issue with some of the language of the bill, in addition to saying that it wasn't supported among millennials, and really absolutely caused a lot of damage to the movement. We were in a position of strength at that point where even, the quite liberal Washington Post was saying Republicans are getting this one right. The majority of Americans, including women, support this bill. So it only came to the floor 6 months later because of very hard work on our part and the rest of the pro-life women's caucus. She takes for granted that we even had a vote on that bill after she severely damaged the timeline. So she calls herself pro-life. I hope that she will continue to claim that mantle, but she needs to act like it, and maybe going back home to North Carolina where she was a nurse will reinstill those values. But I know that she is quite frustrated with us, but she started it.
It's obvious that this was an issue in the campaign. I know the Susan B. Anthony List was active in the district, and ultimately George Holding won by better than 2-1. So there's a number of factors here. Some think that the boundaries of the district were more favorable to him, and there are other issues, of course, that conservatives didn't like her position on, immigration namely. But as you and your colleagues met with the voters of this district in North Carolina, how much of their frustration with her, among the voters that were frustrated with her, dealt specifically with her position on this issue?
This was a very key issue for the voters in the 2nd Congressional District. We found that We knocked on over 12,500 doors of pro-life primary voters, or just primary voters, who are very pro-life in the state of North Carolina. And we found that almost 40% of the people that originally said to the activists that they were supporting Renee Elmers, they changed their mind and said they're less likely to vote for her after learning about her role in derailing the pain-capable bill. So 40% of people who went in thinking that they would vote for her now changing their minds on this issue, and almost 70% of undecided voters saying automatically that they would be less likely to vote for her after learning from the Susan B. Anthony List canvasser about her role upsetting this legislation. So it certainly was a key issue in the primary. And I think, too, what distinguished our efforts from some of the other groups is that we were so focused on that person-to-person interaction. And I think, as we've, in the last few years, we've seen the value of television ads are really declining. You can't really measure what the impact of the TV ad is, especially in the age of Netflix and, DVR. So for us to know that we had actually reached 12,571 people by election day was a powerful statement for the pro-life movement. This is where we thrive, in person-to-person interaction.
We're talking with Mallory Quigley. She's communications director at the Susan B. Anthony List. And in our last couple of minutes here, Mallory, I want to get your thoughts on a few different issues related to Hillary Clinton this week, as the primary schedule essentially wrapped up for the Democrats, getting the number of delegates, both pledged and superdelegates, necessary to claim the Democratic presidential nomination next month in Philadelphia. First of all, one of the things she talked about in her speech on Tuesday night was how she sees herself as the fulfillment, at least to this point, of what began at Seneca Falls back in 1848 in the women's suffrage movement. And obviously Susan B. Anthony is one of the figures most closely associated with that. There were pictures that I'm sure you saw of Susan B. Anthony's grave with flowers and a newspaper letting her know that Hillary Clinton had become a major party nominee. What do you make of her trying to claim that mantle when it's also obviously connected to your pro-life cause?
I would say that the suffragettes, Susan B. Anthony, if she were alive today, would not recognize the position that Hillary Clinton has taken as being the pro-woman, feminist position. It certainly, she continues to double down on a strategy that puts abortion at the center of her campaign and extreme left-wing ideology, and does not allow for other women's voices. So Hillary is all about being her kind of woman. She does not leave open the possibility that there would be actually a majority of women in America who think that it's not okay to build up their rights on the broken rights of their unborn children, that reject the premise that we've got to pit women against children. And so I think that it is a shame, and I wish that she would remind the media, her friends in the media, that she's not the first woman to run for president, that certainly Victoria Woodhull was a compatriot of Susan B. Anthony, and she ran for president long before Hillary Clinton. So, I mean, it certainly is historic that she's the head of a major party, but she does not represent all women, and I don't think she wants to.
Mallory, last topic. I know during the Republican primary season, your boss, the president of Susan B. Anthony List, Marjorie Dannenfelser, joined with other pro-life leaders expressing their extreme reservation with the pro-life bona fides of Donald Trump, who for much of his adult life claimed to be strongly pro-choice. He now claims he's strongly pro-life. So that's your nominee on one side. Hillary Clinton is your nominee on the other side. The only other person drawing a blip in the polls is Gary Johnson, the Libertarian nominee, who is also pro-choice. So mm-hmm. Where is your organization as this campaign gets going with a focus on the general election?
Mm-hmm. Well, Donald Trump has made very firm commitments to the pro-life movement that he's reiterated several times, including today at the Faith and Freedom Conference. He said that he will nominate justices to the Supreme Court who will be pro-life and strong. He actually used the term pro-life, which is to go a step further than others who would just say strong constitutionalists. He has pledged to advance and support the Pain Keep the Unborn Child Protection Act, and he has said that he would defund Planned Parenthood because of their role as the largest abortion provider. So long as he continues to reiterate those commitments, he certainly said some things that are indefensible, but I think ultimately what matters is policy and the court. And we know that Hillary Clinton, reiterated today that she wants to repeal the Hyde Amendment, which would be the most pro-abortion position that any politician has ever taken, even to the left of Barack Obama, to force taxpayers to fund abortion on demand. There may be some questions about Donald Trump, but Hillary Clinton is a sure thing. And, to use the hashtag, I'm not with her.
And Hillary Clinton at that Planned Parenthood event on Friday also saying that she will push for more taxpayer funding for Planned Parenthood. And certainly if the Hyde Amendment were to be repealed, that would almost certainly be the case. So an active campaign, I'm guessing, from Susan B. Anthony List and others with Hillary Clinton on your radar. Mallory, thank you very, very much for being with us today. We'll talk to you later.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
Mallory Quigley, Communications Director at the Susan B. Anthony List. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.